You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation. Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program on another Saturday afternoon. And we welcome and greet all of you wherever you're listening at home, out in the car, on the internet. We just welcome you and greet you to the program, and we're on here because we're raising the standards you heard at the intro, and that's our purpose here, is to raise the standard in the body of Christ. So helping stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're on every Saturday from 12 noon until 1, and Donna and I co-pastor a church here in Stuart. We have for 21 plus years, Pastor Donna, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries, and this is an outreach ministry of that ministry as well. And so we're honored to be here with you. So have ears to hear what the Spirit's going to say to you. We've got some interesting things we're going to talk about today. As we usually mention every week when we come on, if you'd like to hear what we've talked about again, or maybe you couldn't hear the entire word that we speak, well, we make tapes and CDs available. And all we ask for is a love offering. And you can make out a check to the ministry, Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. And you would mail that check to Post Office Box 413. And that's in Stuart, Florida. And the zip is 34995. So whatever the Lord would tell you to send in, well, you honor that, and God will honor you as well, and this will keep our program going year after year. We've been on here now 17 plus years, and so it's an honor to be part of WCNO Radio. So we encourage you, as you listen to the program, that you'll glean something that will help you mature and grow up and realize how low the standard in the body of Christ has come today. We're really below the standard that God wants us to be. So we want to raise the standard. So the more we find out about our Savior, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, the more we fall in love with Him, the closer walk we'll have with Him, right, Pastor Dan?
Amen.
So that's what we want. And so we hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. And so we're honored to be here with you. And we trust that you'll be blessed with what you hear, not because of Pastor Don and I, but because we're going to give you the Word of God and what we can understand from what God wants us to know in this day and this hour, because we're in the last of the last days and the clock's ticking down. So before we get started with what we're going to talk about, Pastor Donna's got a few announcements to make here. So Pastor Donna, you go ahead and tell them what you want to share with them, and we'll move on from there.
Amen. I'll say hello to everyone.
That's right. Clean Roscoe and Audrey.
It's good to be alive, amen, mm-hmm. on the Sabbath day, and we do honor the Sabbath here at our ministry. And so I want to say hello to those out there and those who listen to us either on the internet or by the way of the radio.
Amen.
So you can listen to us on the internet, and you can listen to this program again. And there's other programs that for the last bit that are on there you can listen to. And you can go to WCNO.com, and you can listen to us there. Just go to Saturday and look for Raising the Standard at 12 noon. And it says Gene Hilton. So you'll be able to find that. And also want to say hello to our brother and sister, Roscoe and Audrey, and
yes.
Andros Island, and we're
Head
praying
low.
For their computer to get working so they can listen to us again.
And their hands in the spirit, it's going to get healed, right?
Yeah, amen. We gave them a computer, and now it's not working, so we pray that you can pray too that it gets, that's how they listen to us, on their computer over there on the island. Yeah. And they have not been able to listen for the last few weeks because the computer is not working. So it's all these mechanical things, right?
Sometimes they can get it on the radio. It just depends on the weather and all, you know.
Yes, I can get it on the radio, but it's not as much. It's a little static, you know.
Yeah.
So we want to say hello to all of you out there, and I want to mention too that we have services here in Stuart, Florida, and we have Sunday morning services at 10 a.m. And today we have this afternoon we have worship arts class with our dance instructor. Her name is Donna D. And so that's at 2 o'clock. If you're interested in learning some things about worship and banners and what all kinds of things, right? Tabrets and all kinds of things that they do and they make and they teach, and Israeli dance as well. And then at 4 o'clock we're going to have a video today.
Yep.
Amen. And the video, which one are we going to see?
We're
going to
have the fourth one of Against All Odds. It's about Israel and all the miracles that God's done with him down through the years since 1948. You know,
it's a series, and a reporter went over there and he interviewed a lot of people.
Sure
and
did.
All the miracles that happened, you know, during these different wars. And so it's really an awesome video. It's maybe six or so DVDs. Mm-hmm. in this teaching. Right. So it's good. And we need to know about these things. And that's at 4 o'clock. Right. And then after that, we pray. Need to pray, don't we?
We've been praying.
We prayed yesterday for a long time. Yeah. We prayed on Thursday on 9/11 for quite a while. We need to be praying. There doesn't seem like there's a lot of people out praying like there was before in the past.
Yeah.
But amen. God's got a remnant out there. So we just need to pray that more people will get serious with God, amen. Because
amen.
You know something else bad could happen. We don't know.
Sure could.
We need to be praying.
That's it.
I mean, who knows? It could be all kinds of things. It could be storms. You
right.
know, we had unbelievable thunderstorms the other night.
Shook the building.
Right. Wow. And then we also have Friday night. We have Shabbat, and so we say Shabbat Shalom to you today. That means Sabbath peace. And so that Friday we meet at 7 and for Shabbat, and we have communion and spend time seeking God's presence and have some teaching there.
Amen.
So I'm going to give our telephone number if you'd like to have a calendar. We have the calendar. So of course, the month is starting to go through, isn't it? It's going along. Calendar, and we also have, if you want that prophetic calendar that gives the year, the months and the years of the Hebrew calendar, you can give us a call. We'd be glad to give that out to you as well.
Amen.
So I'm going to give you the phone number. It's area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that. Area code 772-285-7007.
Amen.
Amen.
One other thing I might mention is the video we're going to show today, this afternoon at 4 o'clock, it's not that long. I've got another segment from Prophecy in the News by Gary Stearman. And he had a gentleman by the name of Avi Lipkin on his program. He's an incredible man of God, a Jewish believer in Israel. And he's going to talk about ISIS. And it was really good. So I think we're going to let the people. And that lasted about 25 to 28 minutes. We're going to show that as well. Well, anyway, we're honored to be here with you. Hope you can stay tuned in for the whole program. And we're just going to release ourselves right now and you to have ears to hear what the Spirit of God is going to say to you today. And we're going to talk about something very interesting. You've all heard about Jonathan Cahn and the book he wrote about the Harbingers. Well, he's got another book that he wrote. And it's about the Shemitah and the mystery of it. And Don and I's got the book, and we're about a little over two-thirds of the way through the book. It's incredible the things that's happened during that time called the Shemitah.
Or Shemitah.
Shemitah, I'll say it right in a minute. And so the interesting thing is we look at this, the month of Elul that we're in right now is the month I like to call the month of Teshuvah, and the Jews do that as well because it's a time to return. And so they're blowing the shofar every day. They're praying, seeking God, that they'll be right with God. But we know that no one can be right with God until they come to Yeshua and have their sins forgiven. But that's what they do. And so it's based on about the sevens. You know, the Jews had every 7 years they were supposed to allow the land to rest, weren't they, Pastor Donna? That's why it was called the Shemitah. And so they were required. God promised them if they would obey him, he'd give them enough food and all from their crops to, at the end of the sixth year, to go out through the seventh year. And the next year when they grow crops, they would be taken care of.
They'd have plenty.
And so he told them that. Well, we're going to find out that what he told them, they disobeyed. And we'll find out here in a moment why even the number 70 is so important in prophecy and mm-hmm. in Daniel's prophecy. But where I want to go, just to kind of lay a little foundation here, I want to go over to Leviticus chapter 26 with you, and let's see what God told Israel way back, okay?
Way back.
And this was the chapter where he told them, if you'll obey my voice, These are all the good things I'm going to give you. And he goes through a few of those. Well, then we go over here to verse 14 in chapter 26, and it says this, "But if ye will not hearken unto me, and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that ye break my covenant," you're going to see what he says. And he goes through, he talks about distress. He talks about drought's going to come. He talks about beast in the land. He talks about disease. And then he finishes up with famine in the land, okay? But here's the key thing with this, as I looked at all this. In verse 28, it says this, "Then I will walk contrary unto you, if they don't obey, also in fury, I will chastise you seven times for your sins." So he said this four times in the chapter, that if they didn't obey, he was going to chastise them how many times? Seven times more, all right? Now let's do this. Let's go down to verse 31. "I will make your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries unto desolation, and I will not smell the savor of your sweet odors, and I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which dwell therein shall be astonished at it. And I will scatter you among the heathen." This is the sixth thing that's going to happen to them. That's happened, right? They're all over the world, aren't they?
Yes.
"And I will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then," now here's the key verse, "then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in the enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths." So finally he allowed the Babylonians to come in. They just devastated everything, took most of the people out of the land, and he said, "Well, while you're out of the land, then my land's going to have rest," right?
Talking about the land of Israel.
That's right.
That's right. But I think God also refers to the whole world, the whole earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, this here even goes back where he told them that to keep the Sabbath day holy, and that's
right,
the seventh day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And even when they received manna, when they were in the wilderness, you know, God fed them, didn't he?
That's right.
He provided for them. He took them out of Egypt, right? And they went to Egypt for protection because there was already a famine in the land. And so when they went in there, and so when they came out in the wilderness, when Moses brought them out, God gave them a command, and he told them to eat, to pick up the manna,
yep,
6 days, and on the last day, the sixth day, to pick up double. And he didn't tell them to do it any other day.
That's right.
No.
To rest
the land. If they did it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, any other day, it would rot. Can you imagine
that? Right.
It would rot.
Good point.
Then they were only supposed to pick up just enough for themselves, you know, not to hoard things, not to be a pig. But on the last day, he told them to take enough, take extra. So, and that didn't rot. And so that was enough. That was for them to be able to eat on the Sabbath day. So God even set up a pattern back then.
Amen.
How to honor the Sabbath.
That's right.
Because he said he gave the Sabbath to man for rest, that we might have rest. We're not supposed to have labor. We're supposed to rest. It's a picture of the kingdom. And as we see that God adds to these, he changed, you know, it seems everything goes back to the base number.
Seven. That's right.
So it may be 70, it may be another number, but every time everything is divisible, what's the word? You know, it's by seven. Everything is seven, by seven. So we have to, if we look back the very first time when God mentions the verse seven, you know, and God says, God rested on the seventh day and he gave it to, it's holy, it's
That's
the
right.
holy day.
That's it.
And we should honor the Sabbath.
Amen.
But if we don't honor the Sabbath, like the weekly Sabbath, and now we don't honor the Sabbath years to let the land rest. See, the land needs to rest too.
Well, there's a parallel. There's the Shemitah. Think about it. There's every 7 days, what they had on the seventh day, they rested, didn't they? Well, the Shemitah was the same thing. Well, he had 7 year
seven
rest.
7 years.
So they were supposed to rest the seventh year. So the sevens are everywhere. It's incredible.
It's everywhere.
That's right.
So, you know, if we're not willing to do the basic,
right,
the first, then you know, then here we go back and we see how they just totally just disobeyed God and didn't let the land rest for how many years?
For 70. Well, for
long.
490 years. It was 70 times they missed obeying God's word about the Sabbath of the land. And he told them right here, I'm going to punish you seven times more. So it's 70 times 7.
70 times 70.
And this is how we get Daniel's prophecy about the 490 years also.
400.
That's right. So verse 35 says this, as long as it lieth desolate, it mm-hmm. shall rest when they were gone out of the land, because it did not rest in your Sabbaths when ye, what, dwelt upon it. So
we only rested because God made it rest.
That's right. So it was a commandment.
Because they were disobedient. Right. They didn't obey the word of the Lord.
And so they disobeyed that for 490 years. No wonder God was upset. So he brought judgment, didn't he? That's
yes,
what
he did. But look how long he was patient.
That's right.
You know, everything has to come to the number that God has set mm-hmm. in order for things to work out.
Right.
You know, because God doesn't miss anything. He doesn't miss anything by a number, by a minute. You know, everything is according to the precepts and the numbers. You know, God works even the alphabet, you know, the Hebrew alphabet.
That's right.
It's every single letter is a number. And if we understand what these numbers represent, then we know that 7 is a holy number. It's God's number.
That's
and
right.
It's God's number for completion.
That's right.
And things have to be completed
it's
the way God
number.
Says
That's right.
them to be completed.
Mm-hmm.
And God wants us to do things the right way.
That's right.
Not, you know, decide, well, I'm going to let the land rest on the third day. No.
Mm-hmm.
You have to do what
God
says.
No matter what. Now, let's go to 2 Chronicles, the very last chapter, 2 Chronicles, and we'll see
mm-hmm.
something very interesting
okay.
here referring to this as well. And we'll see what happened to Israel to kind of lay us a foundation to see that we must obey God. And if we don't, we're going to have a major problem. And I'm thinking about our country. You know, we prayed on Thursday. And we went down and prayed for about 3.5 hours. And so, and a few other people were there too. There should have been a lot more. But anyway, we prayed because something happened in 2001 because of where our country is at this particular time. And we're even worse now than we were back then. That was 13 years ago. So let's go to Chronicles 36.
And we have to, some people might say, well, we're not Israel. But, you know, the pattern's there.
That's right.
And if we're Christians, this nation started out as a Christian nation under the Bible. Under the Bible.
Judeo-Christian principles, yeah.
Judeo-Christian principles.
That's right.
And so the principle's still there. You know, and so we need to, if we claim to be Christians, then we need to do what God's word says. You know, we need to be obedient to what God says.
Right. And whether we believe it or not, we're part of Israel, aren't we?
We're grafted.
That's
yes,
right.
We are.
We're part
we're
of Israel.
We're spiritual Jews.
That's right.
And so when we become born again, we take on all of the
blessings
things,
and all.
The blessings.
That's
yes,
right.
And we, if we don't obey, then we also receive the curses.
Bad things.
So it's not because, you know, God wants to curse people, because he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But curses only follow disobedience. And blessings only follow obedience. So, you know, we make a choice.
That's right. Let's read some verses over here. I'm in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, and we'll see what happened to Israel. Okay. Now, if we don't get this done, we'll have to try to do it next week.
Amen.
I want to start in verse 11. It says, Zedekiah was 1 and 20 years old. Remember, he was the king that was in place when this all transpired about the captivity. When he began to reign, and reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he did that which was evil. Hear this. In the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. Hear that? They ignored what Jeremiah said. And he also rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, who had made him swear by God. But he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Because if Zedekiah would have obeyed God, Zedekiah could have left in peace, and the captivity would have been there, but all this disaster that happened in his family wouldn't have.
You know, it's interesting. You think about it, he's 21, three
yep.
sevens, right?
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about the Shemitah. You know, it can either bring a blessing or a curse.
Sure
it depends
can.
On the person, the obedience.
Sure.
And so here, this is, and 21 is the number of judgment. And so here, he had a choice to be
That's right.
to be blessed or to go the wrong way, you know, and receive the curse.
Yeah, cost him. He saw his two sons killed, and he had his eyes put out, and he was taken to Babylon. It's incredible, huh?
Terrible.
Now, verse 14. Moreover, all the chief of the priests and the people transgressed very much after all the abominations. Hear this. We got this in our country too.
Mm-hmm.
Of the heathen, and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers. Who were those? The prophets. Rising up betimes, that means before time, and sending because he had compassion on the people and on his dwelling place. He had compassion. He wanted them to teshuvah, to come back to God.
Mm-hmm. But what did they do? They mocked the messengers of God.
That's right.
And despised his words
mm-hmm.
and misused his prophets until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy.
No remedy.
No answer.
No answer. Isn't that incredible? Then he goes on. Therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man, or him that stooped for age. He gave them all into his hand. And all the vessels of the house of God, great and small, and the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king, and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon. And they burnt the house of God, and break down the wall of Jerusalem, and burn all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And when they had escaped from the sword, carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the king of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. Remember up here in verse 12, they wouldn't listen to Jeremiah, the king
no,
didn't.
That's right.
By the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. So here we read the same thing, the promise. If they didn't obey, it was over in Leviticus chapter 26. And so here,
what happened? You know, isn't it interesting? Because Israel disobeyed. And, you know, God wanted to bless them.
Sure.
Amongst all the people and whatever lands were around about them. They would always be protected, always be taken care of. They would never be, you know, no harm would ever come to them. But, you know, because they were disobedient, God raises up kingdoms and he brings down kingdoms.
Sure does.
And so because of their disobedience, now he raises up a wicked
That's right.
kingdom, the Chaldeans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were wicked people who came in and took the land and slew the people and took them captive and burnt their houses and took the things out of the holy temple.
That's right.
You know, and stole. So what happens when a country totally turns away from God? God will raise up another country, and it could be, and most likely it will be a wicked country.
To bring judgment
to that country who wouldn't obey. See, America has been given much.
That's right.
America has been given much, much, much. And we have a lot of Jewish people live in America too, don't
sure
we?
Do.
And a lot of people from other countries and other nations.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been given much. But look what's happening in our country. Look how we are turning away from the word of God, and look how we are disobeying and making laws that we make man-made laws.
That's right.
And our government does it, and so we're making these man-made laws. And what are we doing? And we're actually cursing God,
mocking him in many
cases.
We're
mocking him, just like it said they did. They wouldn't listen to the prophets.
That's right.
It says they wouldn't listen to them, and so they wouldn't. So they were really disobedient, mocking God. And not believing what God said.
Right.
Not believing. And isn't that happening right here in America?
Mm-hmm.
With the things that we're doing and the laws that our government has put in place, even though there's many people who don't want to see these wicked decisions and these wicked laws put in place.
But we have the ramifications of it, don't we?
That's right. Well, thank God there's a remnant of people. But see, it's still happening, isn't it?
Sure is.
This remnant of people is not stopping it.
Nope.
We didn't stop taking. I'm sure there were people who prayed and who didn't want to take prayer out of school, but it happened. I'm sure there's things that happen in states every single day. There's decisions made that people, that believing people who believe in the Word of God don't want to see happen, or they try to stop it. You know, the Tea Party or different groups that will try to stop it. Churches, pastors,
yeah.
And it doesn't happen. That they put those wicked things into laws.
Like
and
same
so
sex
what
marriage.
We're doing, that's right, same-sex marriage, abortion, we can name a whole lot of things.
Right.
They're putting these things into law, and it's bringing a curse upon the nation. And so
sure
what
is.
God can take, just like he did here with the Chaldeans, he can take a wicked group of people to come in and to bring judgment.
That's right.
Because of disobedience.
I'm going to read something out of this book that we're reading from Jonathan Conscious, a short statement about the days of the harbingers. He says this, the Shemitah can bring blessing or judgment. And that's a fact. It's the seventh year of this time when they are to set aside the land and all.
And let's set this up, because this is the seventh year. This is
that's
beginning
right.
the seventh year. We have only a few more days of this. When we get to
Elul 29
is the last day of this year.
Of the sixth day, right? Or the sixth year of the Shemitah we're looking
it's
at,
It's the
right?
sixth year, right? So we're going into the seventh year, which
right.
is the year of rest.
Mm-hmm.
And that will start on the very next day, which is Tishri 1.
That's right, Rosh Hashanah.
So that Shemitah year will last from Tishri 1 until Elul 29 next year.
2015.
So we're talking about a whole year.
That's right.
A whole year. And it starts this, it'll start this month, actually. It starts
right.
this month. I'll tell you the day it starts on. Tishri 1 is on the 25th of September.
Right, 2 days of honor, that's the 25th and 26th.
Right, and so this is starting this Shemitah year. Remember, when you think about it, it's not just a day, it's a whole year.
So we think about it. There was a major financial collapse.
Now you can tell them that.
Yeah, I'm going to read this after I say it. In 2000, there was a major financial collapse that happened at this time of the year. And then 8 years later, or 7 years later, what happened? We had another one in 2008, and then we had another one when? The next one's coming up when?
This now.
Yeah, it's coming up this next year, okay?
Right.
And so we see this year pattern, and so and some major things happened in our country, and a lot of bad things happened, and I caught my eye when I read this, what Jonathan wrote. He says the Shemitah can bring blessing or judgment, okay?
Right.
To a nation that has turned against God of its foundation and driven him out of its life, the Shemitah comes as a sign of judgment that specifically strikes that nation's source of blessings and sustenance, its financial and economic realms. And so we had all these stock market crashes and all. Every year it was done what? On a Shemitah. Because they didn't honor it. And so we think about...
Every 7 years.
Yeah, you think about the terrorists that hit the towers in 2001. Well, they picked the thing that they knew represented in America our financial success and our economy and all that was those towers. And so that's what they did. They hit those buildings. And so we had a breach in the land because of our disobedience and not allowing God to be in charge in our country. And it's getting worse all the time. And so it's amazing when we think about what we have here. But the Shemitah is such an important thing. And then we found out some other things. You know, they want to build towers. They want to build towers. Well, in our country, you know, we had the Chrysler Building, was the highest building at one time, and they completed that on a Shemitah at the end in around Lule 29. And then there was the Empire State Building. It was taller than the Chrysler Building, and it was finished at the same time. Well, then the two towers came, and it was higher than that, and they fell at that exact same time. It's incredible. And so we see how God's using all this to show us something, that if we don't do the right thing, the judgment will come. Well, then what happened finally? The towers.
They finished the towers at that time, and they also came down during that month of Elul.
That's right. It's incredible. So this is what he just said here. It affects what? The financial and economic realms of our country. We had all those things that happened. It's incredible. He said this also. Is it possible that if such a national apostasy grows more marked and severe, that the signs of the Shemitah will likewise grow more marked and severe accordingly? Well, the answer to that's going to be yes. As it is possible that we're already witnessing this phenomenon today. We are. We now move to another stage, and he's going to show us about the Shemitah and how it all began. And so it's an interesting thought about the Shemitah, because God laid that down for Israel. They had to leave the land rest every 7 years. And we talk about the Sabbath, the seventh day we rest, the Shemitah, the seventh year they were to rest. They weren't to grow any crops. They weren't to do any of those things. But what? They ignored what God wanted done.
And you know, when God sets something in order, he doesn't change it or stop it.
That's right.
You know, like he said it, he set these things in order. Unless I know you taught this before, unless it's clarified in the New Testament.
That's right.
Right? Like, we know what was changed in the New Testament. The priesthood was changed because Jesus is the high priest. And also, the priesthood didn't come out of the Levites. Now, Judah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But God clarified that. But everything else, unless God changes it and tells us something different in the New Testament.
It's carried right over, isn't it?
Everything is carried right on through.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, God doesn't change these patterns. Because we're talking about patterns. And it even goes all the way through to the book of Revelation, where God gives the days and numbers, and things are going to happen exactly on those days and numbers that God gives. God doesn't change.
That's right.
And we need to realize that what he has set in motion, he can't stop.
That's right. It's incredible, isn't it?
Because it's a divine thing, you know. And so, you know, many times I think about Yeshua, you know, when's he coming back and all. You know, God has everything in motion. It's exactly when he's going to have it happen. Not sooner, not later.
That's right. It's incredible. Amen.
Mm-hmm. And we know that the times and the season is going to be during this time. Now, during Tishri 1, Tishri 2, that's Rosh Hashanah. And so here all these things happen on Elul 29, the one day, just the day before Rosh Hashanah.
Sure, that's right.
So, you know, either good things are going to happen, either you're going to have blessings or curses. You know, either if you don't know Jesus, then you know when the catching away comes at Rosh Hashanah, you're not going to be caught away.
That's right.
But if you are following the Lord and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, when the catching away comes, that's when you're going to go. So that even there is a blessing and a curse.
Could be either way. Yeah, that's right.
Because if you're not following the Lord and being obedient to God and seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and as it says in the book of Revelation, the very end, you know, you're looking for Him. You're looking for His return. Come, Lord Jesus, come. You're looking or watching. He says He's coming back for those who are looking for Him, who are wanting to hit that return, not those who are trying to build up riches here on this earth.
That's right.
Because this is not our kingdom. The kingdom is the kingdom of heaven. We belong to the kingdom of heaven. That's the nation we belong to. Amen. So it's interesting, those who are in the kingdom of God and seeking first the kingdom of God, right that next day, day or two, it's going to be the catching away during Rosh Hashanah. Or they'll go into the tribulation period, and it's going to be hard.
So we got the end of this month, and we have this whole year, and we'll have to see what's going to happen. And it's interesting, what's going to happen on Elul 29 of 2015?
Something could happen Elul 29 this year.
That's right. And here we are. Ooh, it's kind of scary.
It is scary.
And this is just before we're going to have what? The last blood moon on the first day of Tabernacles, too, that comes up just a few days after that.
Actually, you know, and even in Tishri 1 this year, which is we're just a couple weeks away, mm-hmm. we're going to have the second blood moon.
That's right.
Which will be on the 14th of Tishri. So a lot of things are happening this next month, during
That's
this
right.
next month.
That's right. So we got this. I was thinking about something else here that, let me read a couple things, partly out of his book here. I think it's incredible. He says the Shemitah, as we've talked about, it's a sign to an outward appearance, but then builds in intensity as it heads towards its dramatic and climatic conclusion on Elul 29. It's called the Day of Remission, that last day. The Shemitah began in the autumn of 2000. The first signs of the economic downturn followed. By the spring, the economy had descended into recession, but it was the Shemitah headed to the autumn of 2001 that its dramatic climax took place. Now here's the first warning. What are the signs of a nation in danger of judgment? One of the classical biblical signs of national judgment is this. Years before the destruction falls, a warning is given. The nation's hedge of protection is removed. Its borders and national security are breached. That's what happened on what? 9/11 in 2001. An enemy is allowed to make a strike into the land. The strike is contained, limited in time and scope. It is a shaking, a wake-up call, an alarm, the first massive warning of judgment. The nation is then given a grace period to either turn back to God or to continue on its course and head to destruction. This is called what? The first harbinger. And so we have to, our
so
country
here we have
needs
warnings.
To make a choice, don't we?
Warnings. You know what it reminds me of? Reminds me of somebody setting a clock to get up at 7 o'clock and they hit the snooze alarm and they snooze some more. And that's what
right.
it says in Isaiah 60, arise, awake up, you know, wake up, arise and shine. But what do they do? They don't want to rise and shine to the sunshine of the Lord. They push the snooze button so they can sleep another, who knows, seven minutes, 7 years.
That's right.
You know, and that's where America's at.
That's good.
Because they did get up and they did go to church the first 2 or 3 weeks and people did pray right after, you know, 9/11 and even
for about
even,
a month. Yeah.
Even on Thursday, you know, 9/11 this year, because people were down at the in New York, they were praying, reading all the names and you know,
didn't
and
hear
bringing
no prayer,
back
though,
all,
no
bringing
prayers.
All the memories back, you know, their lost ones.
Yeah.
But you know, that's not going
to
change
pray.
America.
We have to turn.
That's not going to change America. That's right. We have to
turn around.
Teshuva. We've been talking about teshuva. It means to turn about face, to go return to the Lord. You know, to go back to the land. It means to return.
That's
and
right.
So if you're living in a life of sin, or you're not on fire for the Lord, then we need to return and become bold Christians for the Lord, and you know, witness and do the things that God's called us to do.
Amen. Now listen to the rest of this. He says the first harbinger, which is when the towers got hit, was manifested on American soil on September 11th, 2001. As America's hedge of protection was lifted, an enemy was allowed to make an incursion, a strike on the land. America's national security was what breached. The strike was contained, limited in time and scope. It was a shaking, a wake-up call, an alarm. But in the wake of 9/11, America did exactly as ancient Israel did in the wake of the ancient attack. America refused to turn back and, in fact, became even more defiant in its apostasy, and the ancient harbingers of judgment then began to manifest. But 9/11 didn't take place in just any year. Listen to this. 9/11 took place in the year of the Shemitah.
That's right.
Now let's do this. Let's go to Isaiah 9 and read exactly what we see that the Lord showed Jonathan Cahn. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. Let's just read these verses and we'll see how we're duplicating these even in our day to day. We're defiant to God. Amen.
All right. Thank you, Lord.
I'm going to start in verse 8 here in chapter 9 of Isaiah. It says this: The Lord sent a word into Jacob, and it hath lighted upon Israel, And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart. This is what we've got. We've got so much pride in America today. I see these bumper stickers all the time about our pride. Well, we better get rid of that. We're going to go down fast.
And what about the bumper stickers that have all these different religions on them?
Coexist.
All these different religions. There's just one God. He just has different names. That's a lie.
Mm-hmm.
He only has one, there's only one God. There's only one Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Right.
And so when you see this and you see people who have that, it's just totally turning away from the truth.
That's right.
People are embracing all different kinds of beliefs.
That's right. The wrong kind. But I think about these stock market crashes. We talked about one in 2000. It was the greatest crash up to that point in time. Well, then in 2008, it was greater than the one before. And then the other one that's coming, it's going to be greater than the other ones. And so we see how it just compounds. Because why? Because we're not turning around.
I would suggest people getting this book and reading it. If they have it at Walmart, it's not that much, $10, $11, $12, something like that. But he even goes back to the Shemitahs that happened in the early 1900s.
That's right.
And to see how this pattern, this is what I'm saying,
just God, carries
this
on.
Pattern carries on, not just in Israel, but throughout the world.
That's
this
right.
Pattern carries on. Even if you go to other nations in England and different places, you can see how this pattern, the Shemitah, carries on.
That's the whole world.
It follows a pattern. You can just about track it. You can track it if you have the key, if you have the equation. See,
right.
God has an equation. So, you like to do math. But if you have the equation, then what you can do is you can track it. And
right.
You can go back and see what happened in the past. And then you can track, even look forward. Well, this could happen because you know the pattern. You already know the equation. So you can look ahead and see, well, if something's going to happen, it's going to happen at this time. This
That's
is going
right.
to be the Shemitah. Because all these things that even the history, we don't have time to talk about, the things that happened in the early 1900s, it's just amazing. It just will just blow you away.
And I was talking about the stock market crash. The one in 2000, 2008, mm-hmm. 2012, all happened on the Shemitah year at the
That's
end.
Right.
Okay, and so it got as each one of them was worse than the one before. Well, we got one coming up now in 2015. So what's going to happen now? I don't know. So
mm-hmm.
we just have to keep mm-hmm. praying. But anyway, let's read the rest of this and see what we have here. We read that. I'm going to read verse 9 again. And all the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitant of Samaria, that say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are fallen.
Down.
Down, okay. But we will build with hewn stone something better than bricks, okay.
Mm-hmm.
The sycamores are cut down, but we will what? Change them into cedars. Therefore the Lord shall set up the adversaries of Rezin. He was the last king of Syria against him and join his enemies together. The Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth, for all this anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. So these are all warnings. And so this is what how
it says he's angry.
That's
for
right.
all this his anger is turned away.
That's right.
But his hand is stretched out still. God's hand is always stretched out.
That's
See,
right.
He's waiting for a people that will turn to him. For the verse 13 says, for the people turn not unto him,
That's
not
right.
unto God, that smiteth them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, wow, branch and rush in one day.
And the next verse tells you what the head and the tail are. Read
the
it,
ancient and the honorable
is
he
the head.
Is the head.
Mm-hmm.
And the prophet that teaches lies, he is the
tail.
Now read for it. The leaders
That's
of
right.
this people cause them to err. Caused them to make the wrong choices. and they that are led of them are destroyed.
Destroyed. That's what's
going to
happen.
And the leaders of our country have caused the people to err here.
That's
because
right.
We have children, generations that are coming up, and they're being born into a government which says certain things are good or right. Just because the government says it's right.
And they're really evil, aren't they?
The government says it's okay, it's right to kill a child in the womb.
Yeah.
So that's what they're looking at. Well, the government says it's okay, so it must be okay.
Yeah.
This is what a new generation. See, what we're to teach those, it says in the Bible, says that we're to teach our children from generation to generation, not what the government says, but what the word of the Lord says.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
But this is not happening. So all these things happened, and you can just see how it just correlates with what happened here in the United States on 9/11, and even these scriptures were even declared from the White House.
That's right. This is what Tom Daschle spoke at the White House, or the Congress.
They think they're speaking a blessing because they're going to build with hewn stones now, stronger stones, and they're going to put a cedar tree in now instead of a sycamore tree. Well, see, that's pride and arrogance.
That's right.
And so what he spoke was the curse.
A curse.
Just one person.
That's right.
Not just Tom.
John Edwards did it shortly later.
Edwards did.
And the president.
The president. Three. What does it say about three?
Yeah, three witnesses.
Three witnesses.
That's right.
That this was spoken. And so what did they declare? Not a blessing. Not that they're going to. Sure, they built something bigger and stronger and it's standing there now.
But it's a curse.
But it's really a curse.
It's called the Freedom Tower.
The Freedom Tower. And it, we're
it's
not
freedom.
Free.
No, we're not.
We're not free.
That's right.
And even the shape of that tower, I won't say what it is, but it's not a good thing. It's not, and you see these things built all over the world, you know?
That's right.
So,
Elul 29 is an important day on the Jewish calendar and should be for us as well.
That's right. Praise God.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, you know, how these things are all happening and coming. See, these things are all coming to pass. And God's raised up Jonathan Kahn to bring forth.
Thank you, Lord.
He's this prophet here, okay, that they're talking about.
Yeah.
He's a prophet. And so he's been given the wisdom, and he's a Jew. And he's born again, and he's spirit-filled. I mean, praise God. I just thank the Lord for him. We need to pray for him because
that's
God
right.
has given him so much. And so I pray that he stays humble and he's able to totally just go and do totally the will of God and give him strength and protect his family. You know, we need to pray for people like Jonathan Kahn, who's bringing the word of God and the truth.
That's
and
right.
he's showing it in the old and the new. See, this is what we God's told us to do on this Raising the Standard. We have to look at the old and the new. We
That's
have
right.
to look at both covenants. We have to look at both because just because we're in the new covenant, this doesn't take the rest of this book and throw it away.
There's principles and patterns, aren't there? We need to
and
know.
And God follows these principles and patterns.
That's
and
right.
We can see here in Isaiah, which in the I know you taught one time that each book represents another book.
Isaiah's got 66
Genesis
chapters.
Represents Genesis.
It's a miniature Bible.
Right.
It's got everything in there we need from beginning to end about the Bible.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's Genesis is the one. So here we have this, and we can see that this is what's happening today. Okay, we are way back. We're way past when the book of the New Testament was written.
Sure.
And
is.
So these principles, we can see them happening now,
mm-hmm.
right now. So we got to wake up, like it says in Isaiah chapter 60. Rise, arise. We got to wake up and see what's happening. You know, it's just, it's almost looks like it's impossible to turn anything around. But we know with God, all things are possible. And God has a remnant. And God is bringing things down to a close.
That's right.
He's going to have the final seven.
He sure is. So we got to keep all this in mind when we think about all this, you know. So
so here they spoke this, and they read this, and they didn't understand when they declared these things. And, you know, who in the world, how did they even come up to know?
Found something that sounded good, honey.
Yeah, right. I mean, when they declared these things in the White House.
Out of context.
In Washington, D.C., they didn't even know. I don't think they even knew that they were speaking a curse upon our nation.
That's right.
Because, you know, that tree. There, one thing, there was a little church there, and I don't know how many of you know the history of it, but there was a little church there that George Washington went down to when he was inaugurated, and he had his cabinet and all, and they prayed in that little church right there by by where the towers
and
came.
And it's still
down.
Standing today.
And it should have been blown away like all those other buildings.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't, and there was a piece of metal that came across, and instead of hitting the building, it hit the tree, the sycamore tree. It struck the sycamore tree. That should be a warning right there.
That's right.
It struck that tree. And so what they did is they took that tree out and they replaced that tree with a cedar tree.
Yeah. Interesting. The cedar family, yeah.
Yeah, right. The Therese, or I can't remember exactly how you pronounce it, kind of tree, but it's a cedar tree. And they did that. And so, I can't remember what year it was in. It was 2001. No, when they replaced the tree.
Oh, it was a couple of years later, yeah.
Four maybe. But anyways, it's in this book.
And it was a sycamore tree. That's what it says right here.
And they tied it down, and then even later on, they had to cut some of the branches off because they died. It talks about that, the branches being cut off. And so what happened? And then the tree dies. The tree is dead now. The cedar tree that they put in there, and they had a ceremony around and everything, it's dead. And so what did they do? Last year, think of this, Passover. The eve of Passover, they took the tree out of the ground.
Yeah, the dead tree.
And on Nisan 14, which is the day of Passover. Why are all these things happening on Jewish holidays?
Nobody can put it together.
Holy days. On that day, they burnt that cedar tree that they took out of the ground. To me, that's almost like a burnt sacrifice, isn't it?
Yeah.
So they took it out and they burnt it on Nisan 14, which was Passover this year. Passover this year. So just a few months ago, they burnt this tree on.
That's right. So George Washington came to that little chapel with his leadership that he had at the time, a few senators and some House of Representatives. Quite a few people.
They
got on their knees for quite a while, and they prayed, and George Washington dedicated America to God at that place. Mm-hmm. And exactly where, whenever there's a covenant made or a promise, the judgment will come to the exact same place. Mm-hmm. And so that it's right there when this breach came in our country, and judgment was... It's a pre-warning to what's going to come if we don't change.
So the it came and it brought it on the financial system, those
That's
two
right.
towers.
Sure did.
But that little church was protected.
Stood the whole thing.
That's where that covenant was
That's
made.
That's right.
That little church where George Washington prayed and spoke the words. And I think that he spoke are in the first book, The Harbinger.
Could be,
and
what he said.
That book is really awesome. If you haven't read it, I would recommend that you get them both.
Right. So Jonathan closes out this chapter. I was sharing some things out of about the financial realm and the power of America and pride that we have, and that the towers brought all that down. And he has a term here. He called it a little 29, the day of nullification, when all the debts were to be released and all in Israel and all. Well, look what happened. People went broke. People committed suicide after because they lost all their stock, all their money they had in stock. They lost it, okay?
A lot of people, went from riches to
nothing overnight.
To nothing.
That's right. Let me finish this right here. He says, by 9/11, when the Wall Street was struck in a more direct way, it paralyzed it. It forced the New York Stock Exchange to close down. The calamity took place on Tuesday. Its impact forced Wall Street to shut down for almost a week. The following
days.
Monday was set for the reopening of the stock market. It was September 17th of 2001. Wall Street collapsed. Huh? The market plunged 684 points in one session. It was the greatest stock market point crash in American history up to that day. So here we have another of the great stock market crashes and all that. And he has the things he mentions here. He relates it. First of all, the crash of 2001 is linked to the year of the Shemitah, right? Okay. Next thing, it takes place in September of 2001. The time of the Shemitah's climatic end,
little 29.
Because the next day was Tishri 1. It is joined to the biblical month of Tishri, the time of financial repercussions. On the very night of the crash, Tishri will begin, right at sunset. Next thing, it constitutes a mass nullification of the financial realm at the end of the seventh year, the time ordained in the Bible for mass nullification of debts and all for the financial realm. Isn't that incredible?
You know, people that lost their money on Lule 29, they didn't regain it the next month or the next year.
Nope.
That money was lost and lost and lost, never to be found again. Where'd it go? Well,
they trusted their money. They lost it, didn't they?
The Bible talks about trust in things, and trust in money.
So we recommend you buy this book. It's called The Mystery of the Shemitah. It's incredible what Jonathan Cosman has shown with this. All from Isaiah 9, 10, 11, and about the Shemitah years, how important they are. And even Daniel's prophecy, the 490 years, is revolving around the same thing. The Jews didn't keep the Shemitah year. They did not honor the land. 70 times they didn't do that, which was a period of 490 years. And so God used those days and those years, what? To show Daniel the vision, what was going to be in the future of the 69 weeks, which has already come to pass. And now we're waiting for what? The 70th week to come around. Is it going to start next year on Elul 29? We don't know.
But could it start this year on Elul 29?
That's right.
Because things happen at the beginning.
We're not on Elul 29 yet this year, are we?
Not yet. We have a few days to go.
That's right.
But the Shemitah year starts this month, and it goes for a whole year. But things can happen, you know, things happen sometimes at the beginning of the Shemitah and sometimes at the end, usually at the end. But it's, you know, think about it. If Israel were to say, we're going to keep this seventh year.
That's right.
We need to pray that. That just came to me, because this is the year that they're supposed to let the land rest. If they were to let the land rest, wow, you know, they would have God would really be looking. He says, wow, look at them. They're letting the land rest for the first time in history, you know.
That's right.
And
it would be awesome.
But what happens if we don't, you know? Now here in America, we don't really look at it that way. I think sometimes from when people are growing crops, they'll let a part of their land rest 1 year, and they'll let another, yeah. You know, they won't let anything grow
on
it.
But not for a whole year, maybe.
But not for a whole year.
Yeah.
Well, they would say, you know what they would say? Well, nothing will grow. Well, you know, God said he would supply enough for that year if people would just
be obedient.
There would be plenty. And, you know, and the things and everything would rest. Everything needs to rest. Even the land needs to rest. Even the trees need to rest. You know, the crops need to rest. You know, and whatever grows on its own, that let it grow on its own.
That's right.
But you don't go out and till the ground. You let it rest.
Amen.
The land rest. That's why we don't have topsoil in this country.
Now, I'm going to close with something I think is very important. It's in Jeremiah chapter 29.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that Israel went through this terrible time, but God had a promise for them. You know, they intermingled with the people of the land that they shouldn't have and all that. And even their prophets prophesied falsely. He tells you in verse 9, for they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. But I'm going to read 10 through 15. Listen to this. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and causing you to return, what? To this place. Where's that at? In Israel.
Israel.
For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord.
I will turn
away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. And I'm reminded of what? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, we don't have enough of his people doing this. If my people, what? Will humble themselves.
Humble
themselves and pray. And pray.
Right.
And seek God's face, not his hand, his face, and turn from their wicked way. He said what? That he would what? Heal their land. And so that's what needs to be done. We have to have a repentance in this nation, a call to come back to God. Until we do, man cannot fix our problems. Only God can. It doesn't matter who was put in the government. They could not change what's in the fabric of America, because it's going to have to be something special that's going to happen. And God would be the only one that could do it. Only God can change our country right now. And so we're on this program to raise the standard to the best of our ability for what we can understand from the Word of God, that if we don't change, this judgment is going to come. It's going to come. It's going to come again. Now, here they're concerned about ISIS and all this. Well, we don't know what's going to happen. But we've been warned back in 2001. 13 years has gone by now. We'll see what happens. So we just have to keep praying. No, we don't.
And, you know, and of course, we know next week we'll be talking more about Rosh Hashanah, because that's the time of the catching away. Could it be this year? It could be, but, you know, I don't think so, but it could be. But we should always be ready, amen? I like what it says here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, where you read, if my people.
Okay.
Verse 15, it says, now my eyes shall be open. God's eyes will be open. And my ears attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. So, you know, God hears our prayer.
He was open when we prayed on Thursday.
That's right.
And
he hears
in that
our
place.
Prayer, whether it's in your bedroom, your in your church. I mean, if you're sincere, if you're sincere, if you're God's people and you're called by His name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face.
Not,
and
not turn his hand, yeah, him.
From their wicked ways. That's turn right. from their wicked ways. This nation needs to turn from its wicked ways.
Yes, Lord.
You know, I just think about, we pray about so many things, even the entertainment. There's so much wickedness dirty stuff on TV and movies and everything else. Turn from their wicked ways. I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
I like verse 15.
That's when I like that, because he says his eyes. Now mine eyes shall be open. God's going to watch. He's going to look. And his ears, attentive. He's going to listen to us. Unto the prayer. He's going to listen to the prayers that are made in this place.
Wherever we're at, hallelujah.
Wherever we're at. And so we're just, we know that things are coming down to an end, a close, you know.
That's right.
I think those that are alive are going to see the coming of the Lord, and we're going to be here. We're seeing things happen faster and faster all the time. You know, so much you can't keep up with the technology. You can't keep up with your phones anymore. Yeah. You know, everything is just just rampant. Everything is just going.
He even talked about World War I and World War II. It started on a Schmidt year. Both of those wars.
It's amazing. Get the book.
Read the book.
It'll show you many things of what's happening, and we're just excited. That we're excited for these high holy days, and I want you to keep the Bible Marathon in prayer. This will be our 14th year, and God told us to do this Bible Marathon right after the towers came down. He said to read the Word of God aloud in the city. Let the people hear, let the people know, and read it towards Jerusalem.
Hallelujah.
And we have done that every year, and this will be our 14th year. And day and night, round the clock, we don't stop. We don't stop. We continue to read, and we need lots of readers to come and read for 15 minutes. If you can read for 15 minutes, it would be wonderful. Keep it in prayer. Even if you can't come, keep it in prayer, because it's power. God's word is power, and it won't return void. Amen?
Wouldn't it be wonderful? Every county in Florida would do a Bible marathon sometime during the year, just to saturate the airways with the Word of God.
Well, we started one in Venice, Florida.
That's right.
There's one in Tallahassee. And I know there's some schools that are doing it. There was one in Palm Beach. So anyway, so let's just keep that in prayer. Amen. Well, I just want to mention, this is our time has run out, and we're just blessed to be on this radio broadcast every Saturday, Lord willing, at 12 noon, and also on the internet, www.wcno.com. And we have church services here in Stuart, Florida. We have Sunday morning service at 10. And this afternoon, we'll have a DVD showing about Israel and the miracles that happened throughout the years in Israel since they come back to the land.
And one by Avi Lickum.
And also, we'll be praying at 6:00. We'll be praying at 6:00. So if you just want to come and pray with us, that's the most important thing, is the prayer. Amen.
Prayer time.
And so that we would pray and be in one accord. Praise
that's
God.
Right.
So we have services on Sunday as well at 10 a.m. So the phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. I'll repeat that, area code 772-285-7007.
Amen. And we're honored to be here with you on Saturday, every mm-hmm. Saturday from 12 noon mm-hmm. to 1. It's an honor to be able to share the Word of God and the wonderful things He has planned. And so we have to be obedient, don't we,
Pastor?
To what He said. His patterns have not changed. And so we thank You, Lord, for that. So as we close this program, we tell you to remember that we're on this program to raise the standard and to bring all of us to listen to a higher place and walk in a dimension that God wants us to walk in, which is in the spirit, in a deeper realm, and to obey His word. So as we close, we tell
look
you to look up, because your redemption draweth nigh. And what do we say, Pastor Donna?
Shabbat shalom, Sabbath peace and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Spirit of prophecy.